Please turn your Bibles to the book of James. The book of James this evening, James chapter 3. We've been going through the book of James on Sunday night, and we're now entering into chapter 3. So I want you to turn there, and I'm going to begin reading there in verse number 1. And you follow along as I read. James said, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body." Let's pray now and ask the Lord to speak to our hearts this evening. Thank you, Lord, for this time together. God, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Give us what we need from your word. Help us, Lord, to be aware of the words we speak, and how powerful our words can be. Help us, Lord, to guard our tongue. And we thank you, Lord, for what you'll do through this message tonight, through your holy word, in Christ's holy name. Amen. There are over 800,000 words known in the English language. And on average, we use about 10,000 of those words. Another interesting fact, on average, men speak about 7,000 words a day, whereas women speak about 20,000 words a day. Now, statistics say that the average person spends one-fifth of their life speaking. And so if all of our words were put into print, the result would be 132 books a year at 200 pages each. That's amazing. And if you look at it even further, you think about it, by the end of a lifetime, the average person will have spoke enough words to write 10,000 books at 200 pages long each. That's amazing. We say a lot of words in our life, so needless to say, in all of those words, we're bound to say some things that we shouldn't say. In James chapter 1, we learned about trials. Then in chapter 2, we learned about obedience to God's word. Now in chapter 3, James describes the Christian's speech as another test of our maturity as believers. Our words are very powerful. So I want you to notice with me this evening the power of the tongue. The power of the tongue. And first, I want you to notice here in the book of James the exhortation that James gives to us. First, he's going to exhort us, then he's going to illustrate what he's talking about. Notice verse 1 again. He said, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body." Now, apparently, there was a rivalry there in the assemblies at Jerusalem over who would teach. And James, he warns them. He said, "Let not many of you become teachers." And the reason being, those who teach will have a greater judgment, more strictly judged than those who are listeners. And by way of application, it can be a very dangerous thing for new Christians, new believers, to become teachers before they're ready. This is not a place of great honor. James wanted them to understand this is merely knowing your foundation as a believer and able to share that with other people. And James is quick to agree that all of us stumble in many ways, especially in what we say. In fact, the person who is able to control the tongue proves that he or she is in control over the whole body. In James chapter 1, back in verse 26, he said, "If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain." His religion is empty. If he can bridle many things, but yet he can't bridle the tongue, his religion has become empty. And the book of Proverbs makes many references to the tongue. You'll probably read more about the tongue in the book of Proverbs than any other book in the Bible. And just to share a few and highlight some of those verses in Proverbs 15 and verse 2. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. Then down in verse 26 of that same chapter, Proverbs 15, the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. Proverbs 18, verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Proverbs 31, 26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. You know, Peter is a good illustration of this. We can probably, most of us would say, I can identify with Peter the most because Peter was constantly stumbling, tripping, and falling, getting ahead of the Lord. And we can all identify with Peter to some degree. And he's a good illustration of this truth. In the Gospels, while he was an immature disciple, he often lost control with his tongue. He would often have trouble controlling the things that he said. And he had to be reproved on a number of occasions. He had to be reproved by the Lord of some of the things that he was saying. But what's interesting to note, after Pentecost, his spiritual discipline was evident by his controlled speech. He now had a controlled speech. He wasn't shooting off at the mouth. He now has a more controlled temperament. And the Lord is able to use us more when we can control our words and have a controlled temperament. We've all been around people before who can quickly fly off the handle and say things before they think about it. And you know, when you think about it, our tongue is the greatest self-portrait of who we really are. And we'll read this in Scripture in a moment, but what's really and truly in our heart is eventually going to come out of our mouth. And oftentimes that happens when the heat's turned up, kind of like putting a tea bag in a teacup of hot water. Well, what happens? The water goes from a clear color to a dark color, and it reveals what's in the tea bag. And that's the same for us. Many times when we get in that very difficult situation, the heat is turned up, then we are revealed for who we really are. And what reveals that? Our tongue. Now I want you to see the illustrations that James gives. Some great illustrations here. James used three sets of illustrations to describe the power of the tongue. First, he wants to describe to us that our tongue has the power to direct. We can direct people with our words. At verse 3, you notice, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Now the word helm there in verse 4 is referring to a rudder. And it doesn't take a very large rudder to turn a massive ship. And that's his illustration, that small part of the ship that steers this massive structure through the water. And we often think of that, think of our words in a way that are unimportant. We often will view what we say as not that important, but keep in mind, the wrong word can direct those listening down the wrong path. And I can assure you, someone is always listening. Someone's always listening. An idle word, a questionable story, a half-truth, or a deliberate lie. All of these things can cause great destruction, especially to one's character. the one's character who is on behalf of the one speaking, but also can cause great damage to the other people listening. It can be very dangerous. We need to be cautious of the words that we speak. Psalm 32 and verse 9. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held with a bit and bridle. But on the other hand, words spoken in a right spirit, when we speak in accordance to God's word and we speak with a right spirit, we can lead people to Christ. When we speak in the right spirit, it's so important. You know, we've often heard the saying, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. And if we're not cautious, even the right things that we should say, we can share in a wrong spirit. So we need to make sure that we have a right spirit, because our words can lead others to a knowledge, a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's very important that we guard our words. Just as the horse needs a guide, and the great massive ships of the ocean, they need a rudder and a pilot to guide them. Well, so our tongue also needs the Holy Spirit to control us from the inside out. And then he gives another illustration here. Our tongue has the power not only to direct others, but also our tongue has the power to destroy other people. And it can. Our tongue can be a massive damage in the lives of others. Notice verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Though our tongue is one of the smallest members of our physical body, it can cause the greatest damage in our life and in the lives of others. Over in Matthew chapter 12, we read the words of Jesus in verse 34 and 35. He said, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasures bringeth forth evil things. Listen, it only takes one small match to set a massive fire and burn down an entire forest. One match. One wrong word can destroy a family member, a friend, a believer in the faith. Just one wrong word. It doesn't take much to cause great destruction with our tongue. And he likens it, James likens it to a fire. That fire can spread and cause massive damage. That many years ago when I was a youth pastor here at Victory, one of the things I did every Monday when I came into the office, when I finally started full-time, we had a burn pile out here. Some of you remember the burn pile we had. We don't have it anymore because the fire department won't let us have it. But it seemed like the whole neighborhood used that burn pile. So I would come in every Monday and burn the trash out there. And I was out there once on a Monday burning the trash and got thirsty. I thought, I'm going to run inside, get something to drink. And in just that short amount of time, when I came back out, the entire field out here was covered in flames. Man, you talk about getting scared. Boy, it scared me to death. But it didn't take long. And you know how that was started? By one match. When I started that fire to burn the trash, just one match. It doesn't take much for our tongue to cause massive damage. James refers to the tongue as a fire. Our tongue is a fire when we gossip. Our tongue is a fire when we tell lies. Our tongue is a fire when we tell half-truths. Our tongue is a fire when we say hateful things. And many churches have been burned to the ground by the tongue. Amen? It's happened. And it will happen again. And that's why it's so important that we guard the tongue. You know, when our church had the fire a few years back, we actually thought, originally we thought that it had started back in the ladies' Sunday school class. And I used to tease the ladies that God was going to get that gossip out of here one way or the other. But it actually didn't start as the carpenters were working and up here one day with the carpenters, and they said, "Hey, preacher, you know what? That fire actually didn't start in this classroom. We thought it started down at one of the receptacles there. It actually started over the top of my office. There was a wire from the air conditioner. We have a separate air conditioned unit for the offices. And it was a wire that the squirrels had chewed through, and at some point it hit metal and it arced, caused a spark, and set the fire. But to God be the glory, nothing in my office, nothing was lost. I didn't lose anything. The ladies' Sunday school class burned to the ground. The class next to me just about burned to the ground. And I know when I first heard about the fire, because we had had just about a week before, we had a people fire. And we all know what a people fire is. And we had a people fire, and I was over in Gordon. Terry and I were over in Gordon with our dogs, and Brother Blake Burnham was cleaning our church at the time, and he called me, and he said, "Preacher," he said, "the church is on fire." I said, "I know that, Blake, and I'm working on those things as good as I can." He said, "No, you don't hear me. The church is on fire." He was talking about a real fire, and I thought for sure when he told me where the fire was located, I just knew for sure I was going to lose everything in my office and all of my books and everything, but to God be the glory, I didn't. But you know, it just took one small spark to cause all that damage. And the greatest damage that we had was smoke damage throughout the whole facility. And, you know, we didn't understand at the time. Of course, God knew what he was doing. We didn't know where we would meet for church. God knew where we were going to be able to meet out at Trinity. And it was also about another week and a half later that there was the national shutdown from COVID. And so for a number of weeks, we couldn't even meet for church anyhow. So it was the ideal time for a church to burn and rebuild the church, right? Well, God knew that all along, and he provided, and he provided for us just about to have a whole new church throughout the whole property, and we're very thankful for God's provision in all of that. Though our tongue is one of the smallest members, it can cause the greatest damage in our relationships. Proverbs 16:27 tells us, "An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is as a burning fire." We need to be cautious when we are speaking with people that we don't dig up evil on someone else. You may have heard something about someone. I may have heard something about someone, and it may not be very pleasant, may not be true. But you know, I don't have the right to spew that out about that individual. There's plenty of times I have said and done things I shouldn't have done. And so we don't have the right to dig up evil on others and share that. Be cautious not to do that. Keep those thoughts to yourself. And I'm going to tell you, when we do that, you know what? It really, more than anything, more than making the individual look bad that it's being said about, it makes the individual who's saying it look bad. It makes us look bad when we do stuff like that. So we don't need to go around digging up evil, because he said an ungodly man diggeth up evil and his lips, and in his lips there is a burning fire. And keep in mind, the smoke from the fire can affect everyone involved. When the Spirit came at Pentecost, there were tongues of fire from heaven to enable the Christians to be able to witness. But it's also possible for our tongue to be set on fire from hell. Notice verse 6 of our text. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. Listen, our tongue can be set on fire of hell and cause great damage. James also compares the tongue to a fierce and poisonous beast that cannot be tamed. Some wild beast. No man can tame the tongue. Only God can tame our tongue. We can't. Nothing we can do to tame the tongue. If you have trouble gossiping or not being truthful, only God can fix that. Only His Holy Spirit. Notice verse 7 there in James chapter 3. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Our tongue is full of deadly poison, and we constantly have to keep a guard on our mouth and what we say. And according to James, our tongue is restless, it's unruly, and it's relentless, full of poison. But on the other hand, a spiritual tongue is like a healing medicine. When we share right words, when we share God's word, and by the way, when we come to church, that's part of what we are here for. Not just to hear from God's word and the sermon, but also that we could exhort one another. And we're told that in the book of Hebrews, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. So when we come to church, we should be thinking of ways, how can I exhort someone in God's word today? How can I be a blessing to someone? How can I share God's word? But also notice, Proverbs 12 and verse 18, it tells us, there is that speaketh like a piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Our tongue can be a healing medicine for people who are in great need. And there's nothing better people can hear when they are in great need, are going through the deep waters of life, being tried by fire. There's nothing they need more than to hear from God's word. Notice verse 9. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olives and berries? Either a vine, figs, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Now, what's he saying here? Very plain and simple. We can't have blessing and cursing out of the same mouth. One or the other is going to be true. Either we're an individual of a destructive tongue, or we are an individual of a wholesome tongue, glorifying God. We can't have both. How often do we bless God? In our praying, in our singing, here at church. But then on the way home, we curse man out of anger and impatience because someone pulled in front of us. Do you have road rage? Now, I have understood there are some women in our church that have worse road rage than men. And you know what? That's not right. We shouldn't be that way. We shouldn't be rageful in any situation. Proverbs 18 and verse 4, the words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. You know, as Christians, we must allow for the Spirit of God to bring forth that living water within us. Living waters of the Word of God through our tongue. And by the way, there's something wrong when our heart and our tongue are inconsistent with each other. Our heart and our tongue should match each other. Likewise, a tree cannot bear two kinds of fruit. In Proverbs 13, we read, "A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressor shall eat violence." Listen, we cannot put out good fruit if we are filled with the poison of our tongue. We must be filled with the Word of God if we're going to be able to help others and help people grow in their Christian lives. Now, one of the things that really, really bothers me as a pastor, you know, when you step into the arena of being a pastor, you step into the bullseye. And it's a known fact. You're going to have issues. You're going to have people that say things that are ugly. You're going to have people that say mean things. You're going to have people that will attack you. That's a given. It's going to happen. That's a proven part of ministry for any man who's been in ministry for any amount of time. It's put a lot of men out of the ministry. But more than someone speaking ill of me, I tell you, it really bothers me when mature believers speak poorly in front of new converts or young people. That is so damaging to their Christian life. We should love them more than to do that. And we all know the old saying, if someone will gossip to you, they will gossip about you. And it's true. If that individual, by the way, the next time someone comes to you and they have some really good gossip to share, you know, you need to have this mindset. If they really loved me as a fellow believer, if they really loved and wanted to help me, they wouldn't come to me gossiping. Because what good is that going to do our spiritual life? Nothing. Nothing. A true friend is not going to be a gossip coming to you with the latest news. That's not looking out for your Christian life. That's not being very respectful of another's Christian life. Go with me, if you would, for just a moment to Ephesians chapter 4. And I want us to chime in on what the Apostle Paul said about the same subject here. Ephesians 4. And I want you to go down to verse 29. Ephesians 4 and verse 29. I want you to see this. In verse 29 of Ephesians 4, the Apostle Paul said, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." And we are to exchange those old rags of the old man, that bad conversation we used to have, we are to exchange that conversation for the robes of good conversation, that we would have wholesome conversation. And the fruit of good conversation is holy edification to our fellow believer. When we are sharing good words, good thoughts from God's Word, that's putting on the robes of good conversation, and it's being an individual that is striving to help others through holy edification. And that will edify and build the body of Christ when we do that. It'll build the body of Christ as opposed to tearing down and destroying the body of Christ. Now, in the Greek, the word corrupt here, or corrupt communications, it often means filthy communication, such as inappropriate jokes, profanity, obscenity, or vile language. And all of that is part of having a wicked tongue. But it's interesting to note here, in Ephesians 4 and verse 29, here it has an even wider meaning, an even deeper meaning than just those things of a vile nature or inappropriate jokes. It also means worthless talk. Talking about frivolous things, empty talk, empty things, idle chatter. None of this will profit us. He's speaking here of a profitless talk. Just idle words, idle chatter, frivolous things that don't even matter. I mean, listen, if we're going to come to church and fellowship and speak and share things with each other, let's make it count. Let's make it count. Matthew 12 and verse 36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. God takes our words very, very serious. And we should too. In fact, so serious that he tells us even our idle words. We're going to give an account for our idle words. And he also said in Luke 6:45, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. In the book of Romans, we see a contrast between the old man's speech and the new man's speech. I want you to see that as we're drawing to a close. And I want you to go over to Romans chapter 3 and verse 13. Romans 3 and verse 13. You notice verse 13. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Now that's Luke 6:45 being fleshed out. It shows how man's depravity starts from the inside, and it works its way out. Starts from the inside and comes up through his mouth and his tongue, his lips, and it comes out, and it can be very vile. Romans 10:9 tells us that the new man confesses with his mouth, the Lord Jesus. Paul's life testimony is a good example of this. As he was on the road to Damascus when he got saved and the Lord Jesus approached him over in Acts chapter 9, it says, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest. Saul was cursing and bitter and angry before he got saved. He was cursing, making threats of murder, and participated in murder, I should add. Yet the next time you find Saul, who is now Paul, the Apostle Paul, notice what he's doing with his mouth. There in that same chapter of Acts chapter 9, verse 11, he's praying. Wow, what a difference when you see that, when he goes from threatenings of killing and cursing and anger and bitterness. But now we see he goes from that to a man of prayer. He went from cursing to praying. And listen, that's what the power of the Holy Spirit can do in the life of a saved man. He changes corrupt conversation to edifying. He's now, the Apostle Paul was now building the body of Christ. Instead of spewing corruption, we are to be edifying. We are to edify with our mouths. Listen, edification is a very real part, an important part of the new man. It's an important part of being a church member, that we would edify others with our speech, that we would edify the Lord Jesus Christ to others. In fact, this is the third time that Paul mentions the word edify in Ephesians chapter 4. He also mentioned it in verse 12. He mentioned it also in verse 16. In verse 12 he said, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Down in verse 16 he said, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body, get it, unto the edifying of itself in love. And I want to ask you this evening, is your mindset that I want to have a tongue of edifying? do we come to church and think, Lord, I want to be used today to edify someone or to exhort someone in your word? When we are able to come to this place that God, you know where we are, God knows we're not perfect. He knows that we can all struggle with our tongue. And you've heard it said before, hurting people hurt people. Many times when people are quick to say something or spew something out of their mouth, many times it's because of a deep inward hurt that they're going through, some sort of pain that's causing them to speak out and to lash out at others. And we need to keep that in mind. What could this individual be going through? What is this individual dealing with that I don't know about? I'll guarantee you, even in a small crowd like tonight, there are people here this evening who are dealing with things that none of us have a clue about. We have no clue what they're dealing with. In the Greek, the word edify comes from the base of architecture. And it means to build up. And that's why he's speaking there of those joints being compressed together like a tongue and groove. He's speaking of that in a way that it builds each other up and it makes us stronger together. It's that of a concrete fashion. When he uses the word to build up, he's speaking there of a concrete fashion, something that is solid, something that is sturdy. And in this case, he's speaking to build the body of Christ. As it's been said, any fool can wreck a church. But listen, folks, it takes true godliness to help build a church. You know, one day we're going to stand, and I am so thankful for the people we have in our church. Terry and I have been here since 1995. And you know, churches ebb and flow. You see people come and go, and sometimes people come around a second time, sometimes people come around a third time, sometimes even a fourth time. And we've seen a lot of people come and go over the years. But I am so thankful for the group of people God has brought together at our church at this very moment. I feel we have a solid group of believers who want to see our church grow, who are not taking jabs at fellow believers or the pastor, but you truly have a heart to see the body of Christ grow. And that is so encouraging to a pastor, to be able to pastor people like that. And I greatly appreciate that in you. I'm not covering this tonight because I think there's some huge problem in the church. It's just where we are right now in the book of James. But it could be, if we're not careful, if we don't guard our tongue, if we're not cautious, and to be careful of the things we say, it could very easily happen. In the Greek, the word corrupt means rotten. And it has to do with something that is worthless, useless, or diseased. A rotten vegetable or a rotten fruit. It's something that's useless and worthless. It smells, it's offensive. In fact, you don't want to get near it, let alone eat it. And that's the very way we should look at corrupt communication. It's rotten. And it will cause that to spread through our church just like that match starting a fire. It will cause corrupt communications among other people. So instead of having the mindset that we're going to just spew out whatever comes to mind, let's just wait. It's not a good thing to always respond right away. Something that I have learned in pastoring, so different than youth pastoring. For many years, I worked under Pastor Paul Lavender. He was a great mentor and a man of great patience and humility. And I learned so much from watching his testimony. And in many ways, the youth pastor is protected from a lot of things. He's always got that barrier wall there, the pastor, to protect him. But then when you step into the pastor's shoes, it's a whole new ball game. And things are different. And we have to be cautious, even in the realms of ministry, that we are able to speak good communications, that we can speak well to each other and edify one another. Listen, whether it's a dirty joke, a profanity, gossips, there's no place for things like this within the body of Christ. No place for it. So keep in mind, the next time that individual comes to you, and I know many times these things will come across as a prayer request. But keep in mind, if someone is continually coming to you and gossiping, you know what we're to do in love? We are to reprove them and say, hey, wait a minute. I don't want to hear this. This is gossip. This is not edifying. Let's just leave it alone. And at some point, you have to step forward and be able to share that and say, hey, I don't want to be a part of this. Because if we're not cautious, our words can destroy the brethren and doom those that are still lost. We need to make Psalm 141 our constant prayer. Psalm 141 in verse 1, Lord, I cry unto thee, make haste unto me, give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Now here it is, verse 3. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Incline not my heart to do any evil thing. And it's the idea that we would constantly pray, and I pray this every day, Lord, make me alert of my surroundings. Lord, help me to be aware of things. Lord, help me to think before I speak, because it's so easy to share the wrong thing. It's so easy to speak out of place, isn't it? We've all had that issue at one point or another. And look, once we say it, we can't take it back. It's there. The damage is done. We can make it right, but it doesn't stop the damage. So we need to pray, Lord, set a watch before my mouth. We need to pray that every day, that we wouldn't be a gossip, that we wouldn't tell a half-truth, that we would be completely truthful, that we would be honest in our dealings, that we would think to ourselves when we come to church, how can I exhort the brethren? How can I edify someone today from God's holy word? Because if we're not, eventually our tongue will get the best of us. Kind of like the story of the Eskimo hunters who, as they would go out fishing for salmon, and they would come back to camp, and they would hang that salmon on ropes around a fire, and they would cover it in tarps so that the salmon could smoke. But if they weren't cautious, the wolves would come along and steal all of their catch. So they figured out a way to keep those wolves from coming through and stealing all of their fish. They would take their knives and put a very sharp blade on their knives, and they would dip it in the blood of that fish over and over and let it freeze until eventually it disguised the blade. And they would put their knives around that canvas with all of the salmon smoking inside, and the wolves would completely ignore the fish inside. They would go for those knives, and they would lick those knives over and over and over until eventually they licked all of that frozen blood off the blade of the knife, and eventually they were feasting on their own warm blood. And folks, that is what James is speaking of. When we allow for our tongue to come in between us and the Lord and destroy us so much that we are feasting on the horrible poison put out by the tongue. And that's what happens in the end. The dishonest person, the person that tells lies, the person that gossips, in the end, they're eventually feeding on their own blood. And it's costing them more than anyone else. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time together. Lord God, I pray that you would teach us the great importance of our words. Our words are so important. Someone's always listening. Lord, it's my prayer that beginning with the pastor this evening, that we would all have the mindset that we want to exhort with our tongue. We want to edify others with our tongue, not to tear down, because one day, Lord, we're going to stand before you. And oh, Lord, what a tragedy it would be to have to stand before you as a church gossip who never helped to edify your body, but helped to destroy your body. Oh, God, help us that we would guard our words. Help us, oh, Lord, to set a watch before our mouth in Christ's holy name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I ask you this evening,